Okay, good morning. Let's get ready for morning of worship together. And before we even begin praying and talking, I want everyone to know that things happen that you don't even know about. Now, yesterday, our sound system wasn't going to work. And also, Brian and his wife came up. She got to work, got it all going, and now we're back into shape. Thank you very much. You're very, very thoughtful on that.
Awesome, Julie. Thank you.
Appreciate that very much. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the world is turmoil right now because of disease. And even the assembly here is challenged. But Heavenly Father, you've given us a way to communicate these truths through Phil and Chris, Kit. And Father, we're just so thankful that the work that needs to be done to keep it going, keep us listening, you've given to us, and we're so thankful. And Father, we thank you for this morning of our worship, and pray, Father, that it is glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray, amen.
All right, would you all join us in an opening song? We're going to do a carol called The First Noel, The Angel Did Say, which is hymn number 91.
Hymn 91. First Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. For all to see there was a star shining in the east beyond and far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 with one accord
Beautiful. Thank you, Julie. We are very blessed, seriously, to have Brian and Julie to keep us technology going and our singing going. And y'all wouldn't be sitting out there somewhere in another part of the world or the country or the city listening to this morning if it wasn't for their hard work. So thank you for that. And you may have choose not to want to listen to all the songs that we sing, but generally speaking, it's a joyful noise. Sometimes heavy on the noise, but we're glad that. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church and the study of the Word of God. We are going to be studying the final part of the chapter, third chapter of 2 Peter today. But before we get there. Some prayers this morning. Brian, praying for your family and your mom. Some challenges there. Please be in prayer for Brian and Julie and their family and all that's going on there for his mom. And that the good Lord will just bless her, bless them, give them peace in their hearts and joy in their souls. Praise goes out to the Lord on Mike. We're glad to see you here. We heard that the term near-death experience or something like that, right? You don't know exactly. Do they know what actually happened? Or you're just like, you just wanted a day off or what? That's even working. So we had a scare with possible heart attack. Not sure what's going on, but Mike is sitting here. So what was it, Wednesday?
Thursday night?
So not to point you out, we're not going to turn the camera around and show everybody who Mike is, but prayers were answered. There is power in prayer, and we praise the Lord on the fact that Mike, you and Betsy are here this morning with us. So awesome. But please continue to be in prayer for Mike's health. Lots of other prayer requests for all of our young people. We have prayer requests for those that are looking for jobs. Those that are out looking, trying to make ends meet. The Lord has grabbed a hold of a lot of people that were feeling comfortable. In fact, all of us that were feeling comfortable in this country and the prosperity and things going well and has said, hey, let's not forget who's in charge. Let's not forget I'm over here. Pay attention. And I want to, Pastor Maddox, yes, sir.
Like to be a prayer. Go ahead, tell him.
Well, I was telling Chris this morning, my son has COVID, and he has a lot of underlying problems, diabetic, AFib, overweight, over 50, so he's got all these things against him.
Just a baby.
he's my baby. But he's just not doing good at all. And the doctor, we got him the oxygen level, so we know what his oxygen level is. It's going down rather than staying the same. So I don't know what it is today, but the doctor says if it gets under 92, then go straight to the hospital. Okay. So just be in prayer for him. And then we have a little family, my granddaughters, that she went to school with a man that's like 33 years old, no underlying problems. He has five children from 1 to 8, I think. And he passed away from COVID last week. Okay. So, I mean, this thing is real, and it's hitting a lot of families.
And what's your son's name, Julie?
Kelly.
Kelly. So please be in prayer for Kelly and the family, but specifically Kelly's recovery. We lift him up to the Lord and pray for healing there, and the doctors can know what to do as well. The challenge, I think, with the underlying conditions is there can be a million underlying conditions, you know, and it's like, okay, how do you treat it relative to the underlying condition and figuring all of that out? But Any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Tana fell down the stairs at her apartment and broke her ankle.
Oh, man.
Tana fell.
Was she trying to hold on to that horse that she calls a dog?
No, this time it wasn't the dog. She was trying to get everything up all at once. It's a third-story apartment kind of thing.
So she broke her ankle. So be in prayer for Tana and her recovery there.
And she's trying to work, continue to work.
Okay. Recover the ankle. What else do we have this morning? All of our young people will be, not all of them, but a majority of our young people that are in college will be heading home over the, probably majority of them this week. So prayers for safe travels, prayers for getting home into a situation where they can have some time to relax and recover, and that it will be a positive thing as we roll into the Christmas season. That I pray for the Christmas season, that there is one, that it is actually focus is Christmas. We went to a fun place yesterday with our family down at College Station. It's called Santa's Wonderland. Don't think that's a heretical, terrible thing. It was beautiful, the lights and the activities and all the things that were going on, but it was really cool because at the end of the mile and a half of lights that they have, I think there's 3 million lights that they put up. You can drive, you take these hay rides and stuff through it. It's really neat. But at the end, they showed the nativity scene, and then the coolest part was not only did they show the nativity scene, but right across from it as you're driving through, they show the tomb and they show the resurrected Christ. And I'm like, okay, they got it. So, y'all, it's not just about the birth of Christ. It's about what Christ did for us. And the fact that our Savior sits at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us and is our Savior. And we have the hope, which we will be talking about today. We have the hope that we will be spending eternity with Him. Not hope like, hey, man, I hope 50-50, we'll see what happens when I die. But the hope like confidence, like we absolutely know. It is our hope, we live our lives on it, that we will be face-to-face with our Lord for eternity. Yes, sir?
How's Sheriff doing?
I'm doing all right. Feel better. Yeah, no issues from...
Okay.
Pretty over it?
As far as I know.
All right. Well, praise for it. Jeff's back to playing rugby. So, I don't know if he plays rugby, but Jeff's feeling better. So awesome.
Golf,
yeah. It's hard to swing a golf club when your kidneys are not feeling good, man. So, yeah, praise the Lord, you're going to be back on the golf course. Awesome. Yes?
I just want to give a big thank you from the Liberty Youth for all the donations for our college students. We have actually 65 names and addresses we're going to be sending, and with all the donations we received and the Liberty Youth fund matching some of that, we will be able to send $25 gift cards to all the college students, and those are going out this week. So thank you for your prayers, for all
absolutely
for your donations. And just would like to ask for prayer for the youth, but also all of the staff that are behind the scenes and the ones that y'all see that work with the youth and for the youth. If y'all just continue to pray for strength and guidance for the Holy Spirit to lead us, our relationship with each other, that continues to grow in love, and that keeps growing stronger. So, thank you for that.
Yeah. How's your dad doing?
My dad is doing great. My mom said, I said, how are y'all doing after because I told you he was feeling kind of puny. I said, how are y'all doing after a week of celebrating Thanksgiving? She said, well, we are enjoying a week of celebrating resting. They're doing much better. I think they just overdid it a little bit with everything. Thank you for asking. So,
The Lord rested for a day. We need to rest for a week. So, the Sabbath week. Lots of prayers. Donations. We pray for our church. We pray for our church family. It takes money to keep the lights on, the technology running. We are open to donations. We need them in order to keep things going. So Leslie is putting up the link right now. Please donate. Your grace gifts go to the youth ministry. They go to the keeping the lights on and the continued teaching. They go to the technology, which spreads this across, I don't know how many countries, but a whole bunch, greater than
95
countries. So please open your pockets and dump it into the donation plate. Yes, ma'am.
Also, as a reminder, you know, we're small now, so we don't have as much activity, but still, please do not ignore the need board that's up there.
Absolutely.
For supplies, so.
Absolutely, yes. Signing up for cleaning.
Yes, we'll be.
Signing up for donuts, bringing logistics, things like paper towels and batteries, which I left at my house, but they're coming. I got batteries and paper towels. I'll have them here this week. And yeah, we need to sign up for January. And
not until the end. We'll start signing up about the last
okay.
week or two. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Ms. Nell. Any other prayer requests this morning? So before we actually pray together, I want to make sure that we are praying for our nation. The challenge in our nation today is not Dominion voting machines. It's not legislation in Georgia or governors or Michigan or all of the different challenges with counting the vote. Are those challenges? Yes. But the challenge in our country today is the turning away from the Word of God and turning away from our Savior. And whether it's voting machines or politics or pandemic or social injustice or racial inequalities or riots or Antifa or whatever, y'all, if our focus is on fixing the things of this world, then we will never get this under control. Our things of this world are just that. They're temporary. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. What we need to be focused on is the Word of God and our Savior and spreading the Word of God. And Pastor Maddox sent an email out. If you're on the email list, hopefully you saw that and have read it, but we're going to read it again this morning before we go into prayer. We're going to read Psalm 2. So if you would turn to the second Psalm this morning, we'll read this, and then we will pray together and lift up our nation in prayer. It says, "The reign of the Lord's anointed. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee.' Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest He become angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him." Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning humbly, prayerfully, and Father, we lift up our country, we lift up our leaders, we lift up our pastors across the country, we lift up our churches, we lift up the church body to You. Father, we ask that You just reach down into the souls of every one of us and just remind us, You are in control. And if we turn away from You, we will receive Your wrath, but if we turn to You, we will be delivered. Father, we thank You for the freedom that we still enjoy today. We know that we don't deserve it, and we know at any moment You can take it away. But for now, Father, we praise You for that. We ask for Your patience with our country. We ask for that You continue to convict us through Your Spirit to repentance, to turning back to You, to the study of the Word of God, to the moral excellence that you ask for. And Father, we thank you for all that you do for us each day. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the hope that we have in him and that we will enjoy eternity with him in perfect righteousness. Father, we lift up these prayer requests that we've put out today, those with the health issues. We ask for Kelly. We ask for Brian's mom. And we ask for the continued improvement for Mike. We just, Father, ask that you take care of those in our congregation and those that are in need. We ask for your guidance and your hand in helping those that need jobs to find jobs. Father, we ask that you provide us guidance each day and the desire to study your word and to learn and to grow in your grace. For these things we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Maddox, for continuing to send these things out to us. It's encouraging. It's educational. And it's just cool to hear from you all the time. So we are going to do some work finishing up 2 Peter today. It's funny because I remember Pastor Maddox, you know, when John, Pastor Hentz would come in and he'd look at Pastor Maddox, you know, 17 pages of notes and would ask the question, where did you leave room for the Spirit? Well, y'all, I left some room for the Spirit today. So whether the Spirit wants us to go home and watch football early or whether he's got lots for me to say, we will see. But we're going to finish up 2 Peter today. So if you would open open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to, because I want to make sure that the flow of this continues to make sense, we're going to start and read some of chapter 3 down to where we left off last time. I'm just going to read it, and then we'll pick up in verse 11. But I'm going to read the first 10 verses here. So, dear friends, this is now... Hold on for a second. I know I mess you guys up when I use my translation, so let me get the one over here. One moment, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Easier to follow when I do it this way. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Sorry. That you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Kind of goes in line with that psalm, right? It's interesting to me as you put out the psalms that in the end, God will be the mocker and the scoffer. He will look at the world and go, you missed the point. Man, what a horrible thing to have, to be standing before the Lord and he says, yeah, no, you missed. So, 2 Peter 3:11-13, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, the heavens, the expansion of the sky, and the earth, with intense heat at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. I think Phil talked about the judgment seat this morning, and then the great white throne judgment as well. At the end of this period of time, the heavens and the earth as we know it today are gone. And we talked about this a little bit last week, which was we spend so much time in this world today idolizing the earth and earth worship, and let's make sure that it all is good, and let's make sure we protect the earth and save the earth. It's all going to be burned up. It's futile effort. And it's effort, y'all, that takes us away from the study and the understanding of the Word of God. All these things will be destroyed at the millennial reign of Christ, at the end of the millennial reign. It says, so with this in mind, be people of holy conduct and godliness. And if you look back to where we studied in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and through 11, which I'm going to read here, he talks about what this means. Holy conduct and godliness. For this very reason, being partakers of the divine nature, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is back to the true knowledge. What is the truth? The Word of God. Understanding and spending time in the Word of God instead of worshiping this earth and trying to solve all of the world's problems. How about we understand what God has and trust what God says and trust Him to solve the problems of this world, because He has already said how He will do it. He's going to solve the problems of this world by totally destroying it and making it anew. For the ones who lack these qualities are blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from their former sins. So why? Why do we want to have holy conduct? And why do we want to be focused on our godliness and brotherly love and love across the board? Why? So that we're not useless, blind, or short-sighted. The Lord is returning. He is coming. Peter mentions it at least three times in this epistle, and in the previous one, three or four other times. He's focused on the return of Christ. Why do we want to be godly? Why do we want to have moral conduct? Why do we want to continue to build our knowledge and have self-control and persevere in our faith? So that we're not useless or blind or short-sighted. Instead, we should be hastening and desiring earnestly and expecting the coming of the Lord. That's our focus. That's where we are to be focused. All the challenges of this world, even the ones where we pray for our country and we get involved in making sure that we should be actively involved as citizens of this country. But what does that mean? It means bringing Christ to the center of the cause. It means bringing Christ to the center of the conversation. That's how we, as the family of God, as the family of Christ, how we impact the things of this world is through our view and the hastening of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has been warning against false teachers, moral degeneracy, debauchery, and being led back into a slave market of sin. He continues to talk about these things. The understanding of the Word of God is great. The application of the Word of God is wisdom. It's not about just learning the Word of God. It's applying these things to our lives. It's about understanding that God has very specific truths, and we are to understand those. We are to live our lives understanding that at any point Christ could return. He has warned us to be moral, godly, and continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ and stay focused on the time when we will live in Christ in perfect righteous environment. Think about that for a moment. Think about the time as we look forward to Christ's return. The believers of this earth will be drawn up into the air and we'll meet Christ in the air. But at His second coming, the new heavens and the new Jerusalem, when Christ reigns, y'all, we will reign with Him. And then when He destroys the earth and creates a new earth, perfect righteousness, we will live with Christ in perfect righteousness and the world will be perfectly righteous. What an amazing thought that is. We won't be sitting up here praying about whether or not, the election is going to go this way, or the election, this is going to go this way, or riots are in the street. No. Think about living with Christ where our prayers are a conversation with Him, where our focus is everything is Him, and we live that way with Him. But He's warned us to be moral, to be godly, to have brotherly love, to love one another as He has loved. As He has loved us, excuse me. And so, looking for and hastening the coming of God because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and elements will melt with intense heat. When is the day of God? You know, as I continue to study this, it becomes more and more amazing to me to see how specific God has laid out His plan. You go from the Old Testament and you start, we were talking about this the other day, you get all of the stories when you're a little kid, and hopefully when you're a little kid, sometimes you don't get those stories until you're much older, but Phil was talking about last week, I think it was, it's important to teach the young ones the stories, because then you can tie all those stories together and they start to play out this picture and understanding. And Lori and I talk about it all the time with our youth ministry right now, is we're taking those stories and now tying it together, and this picture starts to form, and we're spending a lot of time in the Old Testament and the Gospel, and think about all the places. The Gospel, as it runs through, Christ and the Gospel, as it runs through the entire fabric of the Old Testament. I love Kit's analogy on the fabric of Scripture. And you see it all run all the way through the Old Testament. And as we're teaching and spending time, and you understand, the all the way back to the creation, and then you see what happened with Noah, and then Abraham, and then Isaac, and Jacob, and you start to see the history of Israel play out. And as you study these things, that all goes from being these sets of stories to a historical understanding of what's going on, and the faithfulness of God being seen through everything that's happening in the Old Testament, all the way up to the time where He delivers Christ on the cross, and it's all played out. How specific His plan is for this world and for every single one of us. And now looking forward, how absolutely specific to the level of detail of other than the part where He's not telling us when it's going to happen, everything else is so clear. It's just, here is the truth. Do you believe it or don't you? I've given you all the evidence in the world. Science says this, God says this. Who are you going to believe? God made this happen. Science is guessing at this stuff. Who are you going to believe? And so our faith is in God. And as He delivers, He talks about in this particular case in 2 Peter chapter 3, here He's talking about the day of God after the rapture. So He talks about all believers will meet Christ in the air. That's coming. We as believers will be meeting Christ in the air. We will be pulled out of here before the tribulation. So the tribulation comes down and the restrainer is removed. All the believers are gone. The Holy Spirit's pulled out of here. And man, talk about hell on earth. It's coming. It's coming. Then after the tribulation, the second coming, Christ cast the Antichrist and Satan into the abyss, sealed from the activities on the earth. But that's not perfect righteousness, because there's still people on this earth. There'll still be people on this earth. And then the post after the millennial reign, 1,000 years of Christ's reign on this earth, we get to reign with Christ on this earth. The believers reign with Him. And then the rising up of Satan and the final judgment, casting into the lake of fire. the great white throne judgment. So we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, reigning with Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards given to us, and then the great white throne judgment, and then the day of God. All of this is done. It's all laid out. This is how it's going to work. This is the number of years that's going to take. This is when God says go, this stuff can be clockwork and we can depend on it. But we have to understand it. We have to know it. And then once we know it, we have to live our lives reflecting it. We have to live our lives understanding and looking forward, hastening to that time when Christ will come. After the new heavens and the new earth, the eternal reign and perfect environment, perfect righteousness, we will live for eternity with Christ in that perfect environment. That's what we look forward to. That's why we are called to reflect Christ. Why are we called to reflect Christ to the world? So that God's not slow in acting. He wants all to be saved. Why do we reflect Christ to the world? So that we can bring more with us. So we can bring more with us and be rewarded for it. God does all the work. He tells us to go tell everybody about it. And then when we do, guess what? We get rewarded for it. He did all the work. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by Him at peace, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which there are some things that are hard to understand, like this sentence, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of Scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, in light of the coming of the Lord, the destruction of the heavens and the earth, and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, since we are looking forward to these things, therefore, since we are looking forward to these things, looking for the coming of the Lord, and anticipating His return, then we should be diligent. We should be diligent. Our hope is in all these things. How can we not be diligent in what the Lord asks us to do when He tells us everything that's going to happen? He's given us the plan. All we got to do is believe it and do it. And we do that through prayer, through the power of the Spirit, through the study of the Word of God, through the application of the Word of God to our lives. Make every effort. Be diligent. To be found by the Lord at His return, and every day to be found spotless and blameless. God is not fooled. Grace is not designed to be a license for sin. We look forward to Christ's return, and we want to be prepared. I think of, when I was a kid and got your hand caught in a cookie jar. Mom and Dad are gone. Ooh, Mom and Dad are gone for the weekend. I'll use the teenager version so that they're more engaged, right? Mom and Dad are gone for the weekend. The party starts at 6:30 on Saturday night. We'll have everything cleaned up before they return for church in the morning. And they show up about 10 p.m. Christ can show up at 10 p.m. Christ can show up at 6:35. He knows when He's going to show up. God knows when He will return. The grace and the patience and the long suffering of our Lord is not designed for us to have a license to sin. We want to be found when He does return. We want to be found ready, spotless and blameless. Does that sound familiar? We're to be spotless and blameless. Who was spotless and blameless? Christ. Jesus Christ was the spotless and blameless one. We are to reflect Christ. The application of Bible doctrine in our souls through the power of the Spirit is the reflection of Christ to the world. 1 Peter, ambassadors to Christ. That's what we are expected, asked, and expected to do. We as believers are to live a life in the likeness of Christ. Because He will hammer us if we don't? True. But that's not why. Because He is our Savior. Look what he's done for constantly. Peter continues to go back to look what Christ has done for you. Look what God has done for us. How can we not reflect his likeness to the world? Same scenario with the party, right? Mom and dad can show up at 10 o'clock. But if the only reason that we're having our not having a party is because mom and dad might show up at 10 o'clock, man, what are we missing out on? Because what we're doing is trying to find another party to go to, not at my house, I'm going to somebody else's party, right? That's the way it works. But when mom and dad, you love mom and dad so much because of what they've done for you, because of what they've taken care of, because they you respect them, you love them. Now, not all mom and dads are perfect, but our God is. And he's loved us perfectly, and he's given us perfectly, and he's given us everything. How can we not respect and love and do the things he wants us to do and reflect his son to the world based on what he's done for us? And that's the whole point of what Peter's talking about in this whole book. Look what God did for you. Reflect Christ to the world. Live understanding what's coming. We as believers are to live a life in the likeness of Christ. Moral excellence, brotherly love, love for God. You know, I heard a term the other day, which was, I was at a prayer meeting on Friday morning. And I don't say that so that you all think I'm that cool. But that's where I heard it. And it was an interesting conversation, which was, I heard the term called the four-walled church, or the spectator Christian. Our position in Christ is to be lived out every day to the for the whole world to see it. We don't hide the light under the bushel, under the basket. Our faith in Christ and the power of the Spirit should be apparent to everything that we do. Everything that we do. When you're doing your taxes, is the $50 saved that you're getting on your taxes worth upsetting God? Because it does. Our moral excellence, our love for Christ, our love for the believers, our sharing of the gospel, these are the things that we reflect to the world. And God knows them. God knows if your hand's in the cookie jar whether he's home or not, because he's always home. We are to live our faith beyond the four walls of the church and on Sunday morning. In China, you can be arrested for practicing Christianity. My question to each one of us, and we have to reflect it, is, and I have to reflect it on myself each and every day, is if the police started coming after Christians, how long would it take before they showed up at my door? Would they ever show up at my door? Or would they be there in 5 minutes because everybody goes, that's the Christian? That's the question. At peace. Sorry, let me back up so I make sure. I'm feeling preachy this morning. We're having some fun. Let me back up. It says, in regard to the patience of the Lord of salvation, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him. This is verse 14. At peace. At peace with the Lord. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're living our life in the reflection of Christ, not only do we have it positionally have peace, but experientially we have peace. Filled with the Spirit, we can experientially have peace. We can have peace with our Lord. With regards to the patience of the Lord at salvation, the great white throne judgment is coming. You spoke to Bema seat this morning, right? The great white throne judgment is coming, and we know it. How will you stand before the Lord? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, that's going to be a bad day at the judgment seat. It's going to be the great white throne judgment will be a bad day. It's not about what we've done. It's about what he's done. But y'all, for Christians, it's not ours to save. It is God's to save. But we need to make ourselves available to him for the spreading of the good news. Had a friend of ours that was talking about, just so upset, could not You know, just, man, I need to do more. I need to, these people aren't receiving. I need to change. No. We give the gospel. It's between them and God as to whether they become believers. It's not ours to save. It's ours to be available to God to spread the message through us. Just as Paul wrote. So Paul wrote in Romans 2:4. This is, sorry, going back to 2 Peter 3, verse 15 at this point. Romans, just as Paul wrote, Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? This is a great, great verse for what we were talking about this morning in Psalm. What's the prayer? The prayer is repentance. The prayer is our repentance. The fact that God has not looked at our country and completely blown it up, I would consider that kindness. He is, and patience. He is a righteous God. But that kindness and that long suffering, that patience, is intended to lead you individually and us as a nation to repentance. Romans 2:4. And so Second Peter 3:16, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which, we're talking about Paul here, speaking of these things, which there are some things that are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. This is a quick reflection back to the second chapter. The natural and the carnal man cannot understand the spiritual things. The natural and the carnal man cannot understand spiritual things. If we are not filled with the Spirit, which means you are saved, so you're no longer a natural man, you're carnal or you're spiritual, and we're filled with the Spirit, which puts us in the position of being spiritual, then we can understand spiritual things. Opening this Bible and doing it in your own nature, in your carnal nature, or in your as the natural man, it might be intellectually stimulating, but it won't make any sense. We come humbly. We come with anticipation. We come in the power of the Spirit, and we come to the Bible seeking the truth. If we come to the Bible that way, humbly, not knowing what we already know and making sure the things make sense to us, but we come humbly, we come in anticipation. When we open the Bible, we should anticipate God's going to do something amazing in that minute. Whether it's 30 seconds of, hey, I got 30 seconds to read two verses. It's my refrigerator verse. This is the one I'm going to read. Or whether I've got 2 hours and I'm going to study, you know, around here, that's like three words in one verse. But whatever the case might be, we should come in anticipation of God doing something amazing. The Bible is the power of the Word of God. And we should come in total anticipation, sincerely seeking the truth. Things can be confusing. Things can be hard. But nothing's too hard for God to figure out for us. The need for the pastor-teacher is clearly delineated here, who understands the filling of the Spirit and who can teach and clarify these things. There's a reason there's a pastor-teacher. Yes, we're all filled with the Spirit. Yes, we have the Bible. Yes, we should and can open the Bible and read the Bible. But there are men that have been trained, that men have been given the gift by God to teach. Find those men that teach the truth and learn. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Verse 17, you already know this, but I tell you again because it's important. Be on your guard. Pray. Stay filled with the Spirit. The challenge is not waking up in the morning, getting filled with the Spirit, and then like hanging out the rest of the day just doing what you do. Because it usually takes me from brushing my teeth to my first phone call in the morning on to be like way out of the filling of the Spirit. It's about constantly being focused on God, constantly being focused on what He has for us, constantly in prayer. I mean, we laugh when Pastor Maddox talks about, you know, hey, we're driving down the road. Please don't close your eyes while you're driving down the road and pray. But you should be in prayer. What's prayer? Prayer is a conversation. Any conversation we are having with God in the power of the Spirit is prayer. We should be in prayer all the time. Pray continuously. Seek the truth of the Word. Seeking truth that challenges you, not just tickles your ears. We're getting ready to come up on the Christmas, I call it the Christmas Bible, sorry, the Christmas church season. That's where all the church pews will be, well, 50% full this year, apparently. They'll be packed. Everybody shows up on Sunday morning. Man, the music is crazy. The little kids running around. Oh, it's beautiful. It's Christmas morning. Santa Claus comes out. They take pictures. And then everybody goes home and has a big turkey dinner or ham dinner or whatever it is. Study the Word of God. Those are wonderful things. Nothing wrong. We're going to sing here, right? We're going to have some beautiful singing here. It's going to be awesome. Because we are to praise our Savior and praise our God with song. But y'all, seeking the truth of the Word of God that challenges us. That's the interest. That's where we grow. It's kind of like going to the gym. You know, if you go to the gym and the only thing you pick up is your coffee cup while you're in the gym, you're not doing anything, right? Just shift hands, you know, every once in a while. Maybe you get, but it's pushing the weights through the power of the Spirit, challenging us, being challenged, opening the Word and trying to figure out what in the world Romans chapter 8 actually means. And spending time studying and understanding and thinking and looking and praying. That's the challenge. Be on your guard. Be on your guard for false teaching. Be on your guard for those that are going to go out there and distort the Word of God and turn it into something that it's not, a list of do and do. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." We're at that time. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There's a lot of myths out there. We call it science today. But y'all, we have the Word of God. We have the truth, and that ought to be our hope. That should be our anchor. That should be exciting. We should approach it every single day with excitement. Are there days where you're like, oh my gosh, if I have to open the Bible right now? But yes. That's where we pray and say, Spirit, help me. Give me the desire to want to open the Bible and study. So you're not carried away and lose your firm commitment. Why do we need to be on our guard? So we don't get carried away. So that we don't get entrapped and lose our commitment. Stay filled with the Spirit. Stay in prayer so that we are not carried away and we lose our firm commitment. How many people get carried away and lose their commitment? On fire for the Lord. We see this at camp. And I love these kids. I love these kids. And we pray for these kids. And we ask them to come to the Bible studies every week. You get these kids that are on fire. And y'all, it's not just the kids. It's all of us. It's every single one of us sitting in here. It's every one of us out there. It's every one of us. We get fired up and man, we're singing the good, fire in my soul and amen. How the emotional response, beautiful things, all awesome. And we love seeing, I love seeing it at camp. I love baptizing young people at camp where they've made a commitment. All of a sudden, the world grabs a hold of them. And we say this the last day of camp when we're getting ready to release them back to the world is, hey, We've held you in this little cocoon. It's the four walls of the Sunday morning church, but it's for 5 days. And the environment is awesome, and people believe the way that, you know, they believe in the same things or very similar things about Christ. They're believers, and the environment is good, and we're singing together, and we're praising our Lord together, and then we warn them as they go out. The minute you walk off this campsite, you are back in the world. We've taken you out of the world for a week. We've taught you. We've spent time with you. We've prayed with you. Watch out. Because the second you walk, I mean, we're always under attack at camp. But when they walk out, now they feel like they're on their own. And the fire starts to go out. And the world starts to creep in. We start looking for the entertainment. We start looking for the experience of the church. What's the production look like? How big are the lights? How many people are in the band? We just have one, and you're awesome, Brian. You can push play with the best of them, man. So I was reading the other day with the same men's group. We were talking about the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. The Holy Spirit works the soil. God in His love gives us the choice as to what soil we want to be. What soil are we? And y'all, it changes all the time. We are always under attack. That's the spiritual warfare. If we all think we've been studying this long enough and, hey, you know what? I'm good. I got enough doctrine in my soul. Stand by. The more we study, the more we should just fall in love with this book. The more we study, the more we should fall in love with what it says. The more we study, the more we should just fall in love with our Savior and what He did for us. The more we study, the more we should just be passionate about our God and who He is. A God of love. A God who loved us so much that in this way He sent His Son to die on a cross for us. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in grace. Oxano. That's Greek. Present, active, imperative. Keep on growing. No matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how many years you've studied, it doesn't matter how many times you've read the Bible. Keep on growing. We are to keep on growing in the grace of God and to exercise the spiritual graces that were spoken of in chapter 1, 5 through 7. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Exercise the spiritual graces given to us. Continue to grow. Continue to grow in our knowledge of our Savior. Keep on growing the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know Christ initially in our salvation. We know that much of Him initially. We know what He did for us. Continue to deepen that relationship with Christ throughout our lives. Every day. There's a business term. If you're not growing, you're shrinking. It's true. So true. It's true in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true in our relationships. I mean, how many of us have friends we haven't talked to in I would say 5 years, 10 years, we won't go to 50 years, right? What are those relationships like? They're cool when we get together, but you don't know them. I mean, the longer, and it's day by day by day. We continue to grow in these relationships. Continue to deepen that relationship with Christ. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. The daily intake of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. It's not just growing in academic knowledge. It's growing in our relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to eternity. And you know, that's stated, to Him be the glory both now and to eternity. That is an absolute fact. It will be His glory both now and into eternity. The question is, where are we? That's the end of the study of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So I've gotten through all of Peter, his writings. In closing, in concluding, I want to do a quick overview to make sure that it all flows for everybody. In 2 Peter, the Christian's nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. We have promises given to us at salvation. And we have escaped the corruption of this world. That's who we are. We are partakers of the divine nature. We have promises given to us at salvation. And we've escaped the corruption of the world. But apply diligence, all diligence, commitment, every effort to functioning in that divine nature through our faith, our moral excellence, our knowledge, our self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. How do we do that? Through the power of the Spirit. Learn the Word of God and be filled with the Spirit. It'll motivate us to pray. It'll motivate us to want to do the things that God asks us to do. Do this so that our knowledge of our Lord is not void of value. Continue to practice all of these things so that we not fall away. The welcome into heaven and the rewards in heaven will be abundantly provided by our Lord. Be reminded of these things daily. Study the Word of God. The Scriptures are the Word of God. Approach the Scriptures with humbleness, expectancy, reverence, desperately, and filled with the Spirit. They are the light in the dark place until the return of Christ. Y'all know that when Christ returns, we can put this away. We won't have to read it. We'll be living with it. But until then, every day. Be mindful and prepared for the warfare. God judges severely those that lead the flock astray. They are out there, the scoffers and the mockers and the false teachers. Evaluate the teachers through the lens of the Word of God, not through man's view of the world, but through God's view of the world. Evaluate your teachers through the lens of the Word of God. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit versus the immorality of man? The rebellious, animalistic, deceitful, sinful nature of man? Or do you see the fruit of God coming, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your teachers? If you see the destructive nature of man, then run. If a teacher is not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, then I would be really questioning whether or not they're teaching the Word of God. Stay focused on our hope. This, the return of Christ, the day of God. Believers are to look forward to it. That's our hope. That's where we need to be spending our time. It's looking to where God is taking. He lays the plan out. He can't be any, well, he could be more detailed, but we wouldn't understand it. So, he could give us everything, and I think our heads would go poof. Right? God gave us the plan. He told us exactly what it's going to look like. He told us exactly how it's going to play out, at least as much as we need to know is exactly how it's going to play out. Stay focused on that. Understand that. Put our hope in that. Scoffers will mock it. Will they? Absolutely. Absolutely they're going to mock. It makes no sense. But God guarantees it. And so far, as far as I can tell, God's been pretty faithful in doing the things that He said He was going to do. Our behavior should be changed by it. Understanding what we've been given, understanding what God has done for us, understanding what He has in mind for every one of us, studying the Word of God and the power of the Spirit and applying that to our lives, it should change us. It should change our lives. Be filled with the Spirit, grow in the knowledge of our Lord, growing the relationships with Him through faith, prayer, and knowledge until He returns and we are face to face with our Savior. That's the challenge. Philippians 3:7. So I'm going to go from Peter to Paul. They had a couple falling outs, but generally speaking, Peter and Paul were aligned in their truth because it was given to them by God. Philippians 3:7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, become like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. May God bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We thank You for the study and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the letters that You wrote through Peter. The truth. To help encourage us, to warn us, to direct us. Father, we just thank You for Your Son. We thank You for all that He did for us so that we can have peace with You eternally. And Father, we thank You for Your Spirit that we can have peace with You experientially. Father, we thank You for all that You are. We thank You for this church. We thank You for the study and the teaching of the truth. Father, we ask that as we go out into the world this week and as we roll into the Christmas season and the focus is more and more on Santa and less on Christ, Father, let us be a beacon to the world of who Christ is and what this is all about. We thank You in all these things. In Christ's name, of who Christ is.